All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, Cole, as you know, in this, you know, big world of dangerous economies and controversy, you know, a lot of things are going on, a lot of controversial subjects.
How do we know where the truth is?
100%. So we have things like gun control. Should we control guns?
Ooh, hot issue.
We have things like women's rights.
I would call that the third rail.
Should they have the rights? Should they break through the glass ceiling?
Yeah.
Should we get the Clinton? We got things like, you know, world peace, pro-con.
That's the fourth rail.
Exactly.
If you said that at a beauty pageant, you would be thrown out bodily.
Exactly. I mean, there's just so many issues. And so what I've done to try to figure out, you know, whether, you know, we should. So to kind of get us a good place to be on these issues. Okay. I've created this little meter here that actually detects where the truth is.
Oh,
you're
wow.
Right on.
Great.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it's one of those ideas. It's waiting on the tips of everybody's tongues. You just have to show it to them. You just have to grab your tongue and say, there it is.
Exactly.
Also, that's where the truth is.
So I've taken this thing. It's kind of shaped like, you know, just to paint a picture in your mind, close your eyes and then I'll actually show it to you.
Okay.
It's shaped a little bit like a fan.
Okay.
You know, like a wedge, like a quarter of a pizza.
Okay.
And like an applause-o-meter.
Yeah.
And I put a series of games.
Okay.
Along the edge here. And we're going to give it a subject. And it's going to tell us where the truth is. And then that's going to point to a game.
Okay.
And then, here we go. On one end, we have everything is fine. It's totally all right for guns to be everywhere and have a mass shooting every day.
Okay.
The other end, we have a sensible amount of gun control that stops people from being shot literally every day, mass shooting every day for the last, I can't remember how long.
I think that's the fifth rail, Gary. I think you found it.
We got the fifth rail. And this little meter here is going to tell us where the truth is. Should we have a sensible plan?
Okay.
Should we do any research or anything to try to stop people from murdering each other?
Okay.
Or are we in favor of just everybody gets a gun, you get a gun when you land in the airport, shoot, shoot, shoot.
Yeah, the streets are paved with guns.
Yes. Okay. And let me turn on the device here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's pretty elementary here. Cool. It turns out the truth is that we should 100% fucking do something about having mass shootings.
The country's on fire. Oh my God.
Every day. However, the game that's pointing to, we've already done.
Oh.
So let's actually just choose whichever one's in the middle.
Oh. South Park.
The double, like, fuck any number of fucks. Like, but it happens to be the specific fuck that came with the PlayStation 1.
Yeah, game. That's the sixth fuck.
This is the biggest fuck.
We've got an axe to grind.
Yeah. So I'm Gary Butterfield.
I'm Cole Ross.
This is Abject Suffering, the show where the truth exists.
Yep.
The show where the truth exists.
The show where the truth is the status quo. Are you smarter than everybody? Beep, 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 beep.
The Build-A-Bear group. and this is Abject Suffering, the show where we...
Where we alienate so many people.
Yeah, where people get mad at us for being close to human beings.
Right.
And this is South Park, the video game.
Yes. So this was a raffle winner. This was suggested by one George, who is a very generous Patreon backer. Thank you, George. And suggested the PlayStation version of South Park, even though it is very similar to the N64 version. They are both first person kind of arena based shooters, and they are both of the same vintage, roughly.
Yes. Yeah. The Nintendo 64 one is largely thought to be better. It's hard for me to imagine it being better enough to be a good game.
It's not.
It's not. Yeah. So the problems with this are pretty elemental. So, you know, talking about the game before talk about South Park, because we've talked about South Park before too. Oh, yeah. But like, it's frustrating to me, and I'm also kind of in a cranky mood and had a cranky day, so it's like, get fucked past on Trey Parker.
let's rev him up and let him go.
Yeah,
it's a certified GB rant.
But this is a very bad game as well. Yeah,
this is so ill considered. All right, so Gary, let's take a system from the mid 90s. And let's take a beloved property that's a very distinct, very simple visual style. Okay. You know, just take something that is like literally made up of paper cut out and all that. And it should be a match made in heaven, right? The PlayStation is powerful enough to draw, like to drive these sprites to make a simple, funny game that carries the spirit. You know, put a little bit more budget into the voice acting and stuff like that. Let's do that. And then let us put that in the garbage and light it on fire and then kick it down a water slide where at the bottom of it is a garbage compactor, because we're going to make this the shittiest.
They close down Action Park. Yeah. There's no longer the water slide that goes right into the garbage.
All four of the kids. Yeah. I about made a joke about that Schlitterbahn thing, but that is legit horrifying.
The what?
Schlitterbahn, that kid who got decapitated like yesterday.
Oh, I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, it's not the world's tallest, it's the world's fastest water slide. Okay, it's like one of those ones that has like jets and stuff like that, and it's
Schlitterbahn. It cut off a kid's head.
Yeah, kid. So a kid got decapitated, and parts of him flew back and hit, I think, his younger sister and blinded her in one eye.
I'm fairly sure that there are probably two sides to this argument, though, and both sides are stupid. Like, we probably shouldn't regulate that, right? Because I mean, the people who want to regulate it are stupid. But also the people who don't.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. I just want to make sure we're on the same page.
No. I think we're both on the same page in that absolutely nothing should be done.
Yeah. Yeah. And anybody who wants
everybody
to do
should
something,
shut up. Yeah.
Yeah. If anybody has a perspective on what should be done, they should just, you know, go to hell, because you're obviously, the fact that you care means that you think you're better than me. and you need, you know, you're an egotistical piece of shit.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, so good. I mean, like, dude, decapitations just happen.
Yep. Like, just
let it go. Yeah. Huh. Anywho.
Anyway. No, I forget what that even was. But let's take that simple visual style, kick it to the curb, and then throw the curb into the sun, because we're going to make this an incredibly low-poly first-person 3D shooter that has a draw distance of roughly a gnat's dick.
Yeah. It is... like several character widths in front of you. And so I knew the draw distance was bad, right? That's an infamous thing about this game. I didn't realize how bad the level design would be.
Oh yeah.
And how much that draw distance affects it. Because like, if you have a draw distance of 4 feet, why are all of your levels huge open areas? Yeah. Like, this could have been okay as a corridor shooter.
Right.
You know, and like, you know, go be in the school. In South Park, man.
There,
like,
there's so
the
many indoors you could be. Like, the turkeys are in Tom's rhinoplasty. No, like,
yeah. As opposed to just being out nowhere, you have a radar, which is like necessary to even begin to survive in this game. But even just knowing where to go, like, there are gigantic arrows that point you where to go every once in a while. But they're, you can't see them if you're more than 4 feet away from them. So like. Yeah. It is a huge pain in the ass.
Yeah. And if you're not, like, you know, psychically tuned into the wavelength that the designers want you to be on, you pretty much just have to use the dataless heuristic and keep your right hand on the geometry until you get to the end.
The draw distance is so bad, and the graphics are actually, so there's like this weird way with the draw distance and the weird PlayStation way of rendering walls makes it seem like there are thin passages where there are not at corners from any distance. So if you're like a little bit far away, it looks like, oh, that there's a little passage there. There never is. Like, when you get close, it disappears like a mirage. Mm-hmm. But that happened to me constantly. I'd walk into corners, think I could continue into them.
Yep. And then you have to shoulder strafe out and like just kind of like turn around, and then, oh no, there's a turkey behind you.
Yeah.
You don't die.
Well, I do, because that sound never ends.
Nope. It's the same dot wave. Just stand over and over again.
The audio design in this is some of the worst we've done for the show.
Oh yeah,
like, and that's pretty impressive.
We've even got a doozy coming up next week.
Yeah, too. Yeah, yeah, 100%. Like, it is really, really rough.
Yeah,
that dot wave playing constantly in your ear is really unpleasant.
Yeah, that dot wave of an intern just making turkey noises.
Yes,
into that. Although that,
but they don't care. It's supposed to be cheap.
Yep.
Because who cares?
Yeah, because who cares about quality?
Yeah, no, I mean, it doesn't matter. Like, it's, yeah.
yeah. Anyway. The turkey thing. So the turkey plot, like, the, you know, there's like a bunch of stuff this pulls from an episode. leads to one of my favorite anecdotes about this. So in the early days of South Park, they would gun to get, like, guests, you know, guest voices and stuff like a cartoon would do. And they would always put the voices on, like, nonsensical characters, like, oh, this is a cow that is voiced by Jay Leno or something like that.
Sure.
For the turkey episode, they had Jerry Seinfeld on deck. Like, okay, I'm going to come in. I'm going to do a voice on this popular show with the kids. And they wanted him to be a turkey. And he was like, what the fuck? I don't even know. And, like, bad on Jerry Seinfeld. because Jerry Seinfeld's a dick. It's a match made in heaven.
Yeah, he would never do that now.
No.
Like the idea of imagining Jerry Seinfeld being like, yeah, I'm going to sign up for the South Park thing is pretty, mm-hmm. pretty bonkers. That's like in the middle of Seinfeld mania, though.
Oh, yeah, I suppose it was.
people talk about Simpsons mania and NES mania a lot, but we really had like a legit Seinfeld mania.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah. You know.
And that was a mania I was along for the ride for.
I would
watch Seinfeld with my parents. Like, that was
I'll still watch Seinfeld. It's funny.
Oh, yeah. No, it's great. I get jealous that Seinfeld is only on Hulu, because I guess I could just, like, torrent it or whatever, but, like, I don't know. I want to watch it legit.
Yeah.
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 But yeah.
Anywho, so you kind of move through this level of getting these turkeys. You're heading to a Renaissance fair for some reason. There's a little cutscene in the beginning. Like, it just does the intro of the cartoon in, like, polygon form.
In reboot era pre-rendered 3D.
Yes. Yeah. Which has reminded me how much I dislike the theme song to South Park.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's weird. It's like Les Claypool.
Yeah.
And it's this weird discordant, like, angry, sour thing.
And the kids, like, singing out of tune. Yeah. It's...
And that has always been my South Park thing. Mm-hmm. It's part of the reason why I don't like South Park. And a big, like, what will be a deal breaker for me in a cartoon is giving all of the principals annoying voices.
Yep.
And this, nobody is pleasant enough to listen to in this show, like, to be tolerable. Like, it is, like, all four of the kids. There's a part where you're selecting, you know, your guy or maybe I'm thinking of the multiplayer.
Yeah.
But they say a little, like, voice clip when you get to them, and they all sound awful.
Yep.
They've somehow managed to make even the character that doesn't talk sound as unpleasant and be as unpleasant as Cartman, who is, I think, one of the most unsavory and worst characters in history.
Oh, yeah.
I hate him. And it's not like, oh, like, I find it like, he's too real for me. You know, oh, he's too twisted. I don't like, he's too offensive. It's
he held the twisted mirror up to you and you didn't like what you saw, you hypocrite.
Exactly. Like, yeah. He's just unpleasant.
Right.
Like, audiovisually unpleasant.
Mm-hmm.
But it's supposed to be, because it's supposed to be bad, because we don't care.
I'll show you how much I don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. No, it's way too much aesthetically. And also, you know, you get little character barks and stuff like that. And there are, like, five of them in the game. So
yeah.
It just keeps on repeating itself. And even, like, the cutscenes.
And none of them are jokes.
Nope.
there's not one joke. It starts off with Jeff just being like, hey, children, there's a comet.
There's a spooky comet, and we've got all this spooky stuff happening. Oh, okay.
What the hell? What the hell? You know, and then it just gives you a little... and then it just says, go to the Renaissance Fair and find your friends. And you just end up fighting turkeys, and it's like, what is this? Yeah. Get fucked.
Is this supposed to be entertaining? Like, I don't get it. And, you know, it's just it's the usual irreverent thing. So, like, the idea of, like, a kid-based shooter where you're throwing snowballs at things, right? Like, that's kind of cool. It's got, like, a little bit of an earthbound kind of flair, right?
A little Noah's Ark 3D.
Yeah. But then the supercharged version of your snowball is you just piss on it on demand and then throw that, and that does more damage. And so, like, they took this kind of, like, oh, you're kids, so you wouldn't have access to weapons, well, unless this is America.
And, yes.
You know, let's just make that, like, kind of a gross non-joke too.
Yeah. This game is full of gross non-jokes.
Yeah.
And, like, the show is not full of gross non-jokes. Like, the show has jokes.
Right. And especially the show from this era had jokes.
Yes. It just comes from a place that's really repugnant, I think.
Yeah. And keep in mind, we're the people who praised Boogerman.
I fucking love Booger Man, bro. and Booger Man is really gross, but at least he has a message. Like, say what you will about the man, but he has principles.
It's about acceptance, you know? Booger Man, he's not a plumber. He's a billionaire who acts as a janitor on the weekend because he wants to be down with the common people. Did you know that? Booger Man is a billionaire.
Yeah. Booger billionaire. Well, because he's a Batman right. Archetype.
Yep.
But the South Park kind of ethos of having, you know, I don't know. We should get into it. We start at the beginning rather than just starting at the end of that. Do you want to finish out game stuff and then go into that?
Yeah.
I have a really, really good piece of Game Facts Gold for this.
Oh, fuck. Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so I want to talk to you about my experience with this. This is probably the game that I've played the least for the show. Mm-hmm. Because you remember I've told stories about how I get motion sick, right?
Sure.
You know, with specific games, like,
you've regaled me with tales.
Yes, everybody has heard like, of Cole's queasy adventures.
These stories that stand throughout time.
Yes. it's Aesop's fable about Cole being a little bit dizzy and not he sat still, but he felt like he was on a boat. But like I checked this game out, or I rented this game back when it would when it came out on N64, because I was kind of like at the right age to enjoy South Park when it like came out and hit big, because like I was too young for it. But too young for South Park is actually the best age, because like you hear about it from like older kids at school and it's like, oh my gosh, that sounds so amazing. And so I checked this out thinking it was going to be something. I was like, oh, I like GoldenEye. And it was the first time I really got motion sick playing a game. Like, we had to take it back because, like, I just couldn't do it. So, like, okay, we're going to fire up. Maybe something has changed. Something is different in me or about the PlayStation version of the game or emulation. Like, all right, let's give this a good, you know, God's honest, right? Mm-hmm. Nope. No matter how far away I sat from the screen, no matter which television I put it on, I still got so incredibly motion sick.
Mm.
Yeah.
Is it like a lack of reference?
It's so I think it's a combination of the lack of reference, the low frame rate, and also the incredibly slow response time. Like, it just feels floaty. So there's not even like the, you know, motion sickness happens when like your eyes do some like take an input that doesn't, you know, match up with what your body's doing.
Yes.
You know? And so like playing a game, I can usually say like, all right, I'm pressing forward. So I just, okay, brain, like we're going to go forward and you should expect this. That was delayed just enough, I think, to like short circuit that like, okay, I can trick myself into thinking this is okay. But my body very much told me, no, nothing is okay and nothing will ever be okay again. So, I got to the end of the first level and I was like, yep, I think that I have gotten enough out of this. And by looking at Game Facts, I've seen that, yes, that is a confirmation. It's pretty much all just kill enemies, open gates, and then you're done.
It's trying to be like an updated 3D version of like Berserk or something. Like the old, like not Berserk, the, when the sky opened up and the horse had sexual intercourse, the Cartman is very weird,
right.
You know, but like, yeah, like the,
Yeah. I should have just assumed they're not saying anything. Okay.
Yeah. I want to get both sides of the story. That horse might have a really good point. I mean, in the end, they're probably both stupid though.
Okay. Yeah. Cause everybody's stupid and I'm smart.
Yeah, exactly. So it's trying to be this kind of wave-based Serious Sam style shooter. You just have like one enemy per level.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing moves fast enough or feels good enough to do that.
Right.
Like there's no sense of like the kinesthetics are really bad. Like your snowballs feel really bad.
Mm-hmm.
There's not like a good sense of impact. It doesn't feel like shooting anything.
And even like the other stuff, like the dodgeball or the plunger gun, they didn't really do much to fix that. Cause like the snowball is like, oh, well, that's just a wimpy starting weapon. You know, the real game starts when you get X, Y, or Z. It's like, no, it really doesn't.
And I found no real reason to use anything other than,
right,
you know, the snowball, because why wouldn't I have unlimited ammo as opposed to there's seemingly unlimited bad guys,
mm-hmm.
you know, so you just kind of back away, circle strafe and throw these snowballs like. Yeah.
Yeah. So what's this Game Facts Gold that you found? Because I went digging and I came back. There was nothing in my pan.
Well, it's a review. By a Link to the Past 7808 here. And the review, the title of the review is, even the creators of the show didn't think too much about the game, comma, but it is okay, is the name of the review.
Okay.
And comma usage is important here because this is this first part is a sentence. Introduction. The game is based off the show South Park, comma. This game was released around the time when the show was around the end of the second season, comma. That's what makes the game not good, comma. It came out early when the show didn't have many characters, comma. It also means there isn't much to do in this game, comma. Most of the stuff in the game revolves around some stuff that happens in the show's first season, comma. Example, comma, evil turkeys, comma, aliens, comma, etc., comma, period. Even the creators of the show didn't think the game was at all that great, period. But since the game is quote unquote South Park, comma, I gave it a good rating. At least it's based off of the show.
Well, he's got brand loyalty, and that's good.
real brand loyalty. Gameplay. The game has an intro, comma, just like the intro from the TV show when it was in the first three seasons and some of season four, comma. The intro to the game has the South Park theme song, comma, of course, comma, and it was just like the show's old intro in every way, comma, but instead of the stuff from the TV show being in the intro, comma, it shows some stuff from the game, period.
Can you raise at the end of all these commas, like, instead of being like comma. The game, not like B-52s, but like, you know, the story mode can get real boring, but once you beat the game and get all the characters, like
because
what this sounds like. Are we sure this isn't like a Cormac McCarthy thing and he just doesn't want to use quotation marks and this is multiple different characters?
I don't think so. It doesn't seem like it. He's a real single issue voter.
Well, he's brand loyal. Like he's willing to extend the benefit of the doubt. He doesn't like the game, but he likes where it comes from in his heart.
You pick a character out of Kenny, Cartman, Kyle, and Stan. When you begin most of the levels, you have to go find the other three at their houses or in other places, depending on the level you are then. Just do whatever the objective of the level is, period. That's a pretty bad sentence there. Come on. So the end,
buy rent nothing. Yeah, buy rent. It's all one string. It's like he's coding in JavaScript.
I remember last year's buy rent nothing day. difficult to say. If you are a very huge fan of the show like me, comma, then you might as well get the game, comma. But if you're just curious of the game, what the game is like compared to the show, comma, rent it. It is either rent or buy, though, or rent either buy or rent, though. To me, it is a pretty fun game, but could have been a whole lot better if it was made later on when the show had more characters and better storylines.
Oh, cool, because that is exactly what was wrong with this.
Exactly. Score 4 out of 10. Great.
And if you look at the subcategories, mm-hmm. Story 7, graphics 6, sound 7, gameplay 8, replayability 9. I'm not a mathematician. I'm not even a math magician. That doesn't average out to a 4. I guess it's out of 5. No. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a 7.9.
So I guess you're just squeaking by with a 4.0 South Park.
Yeah.
You're on thin ice, Stone.
You did it, Parkour. But yeah, I wonder if this guy who's like feels like he has to give it a good review because it's South Park, does he feel like if he doesn't give this a good GameFAQs review, something bad will happen?
It's got to be kind of like the Backyard Wrestling thing where like if somebody was a juggalo, they were obviously going to give it a high review even if they didn't like the game because they didn't want to be spurned by their peers.
We don't understand homies. If I had homies, maybe I would get it. I feel like I just have like buddies and pals and stuff. Yeah,
chums, associates, well-wishers.
Like how some people never have a dad, but instead they have a father.
Mm-hmm.
Like I need some homies.
I call him the sperm donor.
Yeah, just starting little franchise families. Just the guy who made a squirted a nugget in my mom's luggage.
Shut the fuck up, teenagers. God damn it. You made South Park happen. And in fact, teenagers, you made all culture happen, and culture is shit.
Yeah.
Teenagers should be sent off to the Navy. Like put them on a boat where they can shit that up.
We need another war.
No, we don't.
Says Cole Ross.
I don't think that they don't need to die.
You want them to go to the National Guard,
right? No, I just not to crib like a John Roderick thing. I just want them to. They need to go like cut trail, like you know. Let's reinstate the Tennessee Valley Association. Let's just basically give these kids masks and send them around the world to like clean lead out of like public buildings and low income housing.
You want like the Peace Corps?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's what I want. Except it starts when you're 12 and it ends when you're 22.
Yeah. I, you know, the thing is, though, like, we're, this is like trying to shoot, like pointing a gun at the sky and trying to shoot a star, you know, like, because the actual teens now are way too wily and advanced to fall into our military trap. Well, and we're not angry at them. You know, like, teens today are not doing this.
No.
I have no idea what teens are doing, but no, I mean, that's, and that's something we talk about all the time on the show.
I mean, like, teens today are sneaking up behind you right now, and they want to cut your Achilles tendon. And also, they're throwing lit firecrackers at you as you walk down the street.
I don't think they still use firecrackers, man. Like, I think that they're beyond that. I think it's all like digit hacks
They
don't even use Achilles tendons. It's all like, you know, ACH, you know, 14 dot EXE tendons. Like, it is, there's no way we can understand it. It's like trying to imagine what it's like when you're dead. It's trying to think of what a teen might even be, you know?
Yeah, I suppose. I just, that's my assumption. Like, we can take that, though. I think that no matter what they're doing, it's about the equivalent of sneaking up behind you and cutting your Achilles tendons.
I feel like they're more advanced than that.
I feel like it would be just about the same thing. I feel like it would get the same result.
It's malevolent, is your point.
Yeah.
I feel like their motivations are beyond good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is, it's maybe will not go well for us, but there's no malice in it. It is just, you know, the alien needs water and our planet happens to be in the path.
Right.
You know, it is,
But I mean, at the same time, if we learn their ways, we can actually trick them. You know, we can just Pokemon Go them into like a gigantic trap
or something,
you know? And then just like scoop them up in a big net, put them on a boat, ship them to Tennessee where they can cut trail and build a new dam. And then when they're 22, they're out and fine. And then we won't have South Park again.
Yeah. Something to get rid of South Park, even though South Park has never gotten like less popular.
That's the thing, though,
it's like all the people who are fans of it now are not teens. Like, it's all people our age. I know a lot of people in their, you know, early 30s who are real into South Park because they were into it in high school and just never got over it.
Yeah. Well, no, because so it really shaped their views.
Yeah. Yeah. And the view, the thing we keep talking about, and people this has come up on other shows. And if this is news to anyone who doesn't know, like, and maybe you disagree, maybe you're into South Park, but like, my big problem with South Park is not that there aren't jokes in it, because sometimes there are jokes.
Yeah.
I don't think the jokes are very good.
Yeah.
But it's that, like, the point. So the template for a South Park episode is like, let's examine something big in society. Like Starbucks or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Then a version of that moves into South Park. People, broad caricatures of both sides of the argument are drawn until one of the main characters of the show shows up to declare them both stupid and false.
And there's going to be a big speech probably given by Stan, although sometimes by Stan's dad, Randy. Although often he is the first person to kind of be snared in to this, oftentimes. You know, about like, hey, maybe you're all just dicks.
Yes, exactly. All of the things are stupid. Both sides. So it's like, it's not true in the world of South Park that like Starbucks actually makes good coffee and treats their employees well. It's not true that they drive out smaller coffee shops. Even considering it is dumb.
Right.
Like, even having an opinion on it or thinking about it or caring about it is the worst thing you can do and means you're, you know, worthy of Trey Parker and Matt Stone's scorn.
Right.
And they've been doing this for like 15 years or something like that, 16 years, and I hate it.
Yeah. And so, like, you know, there are a couple of different like back of the class attitudes, you know, that can possibly happen. Like, man, like Beavis and Butthead, right? Like, they're gonna sit back there and not pay attention and throw shit. South Park, it's somebody who sits in the back, disrupts the entire thing, but still doesn't add anything, just makes fart noises and says you're all dumb.
Like, well, even not just fart noises, it's like there's this
taking like this false position of like power by like, you know, by not caring and by not, you know, by not actually having the courage to take a stance, you know, like all of a sudden I am lifted up and above this.
Yeah, they're not just trying to disrupt it. They're trying to like hold court.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're doing the thing that you do when you come in and you're like, listen, I'm.
People... Well, no, actually, guys, it's pretty simple.
Yeah, exactly. Like if you're walking around and you think like, oh, people really like it when I come through and tell them what they're doing wrong. No, they don't.
Nope.
No, they don't. Like they 100% do not need you coming in and correcting them. Like that is never appreciated.
And also, so here, you know, here's the thing. Like there's the idea of like a South Park libertarian, which is like everybody just stop doing stuff. right? And it's kind of like, okay, the left is wrong, the right is wrong. Again, the canonical, the truth is somewhere in the middle. Even not taking a stance is a fucking stance. By saying, hey, everything is fine as the way it is, that is the most toxic kind of conservatism, because it's just saying, hey, the status quo is fine, and anybody who makes any noise about anything has no basis. So, like, let's just lock it in right now and never have anything change, because I cannot bother hearing any peep about this thing that just kind of like doesn't affect me personally, so therefore it doesn't affect anybody else.
A deep place of privilege.
Yeah.
Like, this shit comes from, like,
not to be caricatures of ourselves, but like, that shit has like just annoyed me since like there was a definite turning point. Like, there was a relatively early episode, like, by which I mean like in this hugely long running show, like season four.
Was it the
or
second
five.
Season before they had lots of characters and lots of storylines and had lots of good plots and jokes? Like,
I'm sorry, you're gonna have to raise your voice. I don't recognize that string with that. No, it's it was the one about hybrid cars, right? It was like around it was around the time that like Inconvenient Truth was a thing, and you had like Al Gore running around talking about Man Bear Pig, and it's like, no, like, it's not a mythological beast that he's talking about. Like, that's the stupidest analogy. This may have been a separate episode too, but like, oh, everybody started getting Priuses, and then Priuses were polluting with smug instead of smog, and it's because everybody liked the smell of their own farts because they drove a car that cared about the environment, and that was enough of a thing. It was like, oh, what if it was like, no, you just made up another thing to make it seem like it's as bad as the other thing. It's like, no, you don't get to do that. It doesn't affect you that somebody else bought a fucking Prius.
Well, and the alternative, like the idea in these South Park people's minds, where they are like imagining a world where they are being looked down upon for not doing this, that doesn't exist.
No.
So like, I don't, somebody being like way into Starbucks, if I don't want to go to a Starbucks, certainly doesn't impact me. If somebody wants to get a really like fuel efficient, like environmentally friendly car, certainly doesn't impact me.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's like they're doing this thing where they have problems with the culture and consumerism, but their target is the people rather than the companies and forces that shape them.
Right.
Like, there's a sympathetic version of this show that they would never make because it would have an outlook that would be, you could take a look at Prius and be like, oh, their advertising and stuff is kind of bullshit. Like, they're trying to make people feel good for doing that. But because since they're just like, oh, everyone is a sheep except for us, the person in their crosshairs are the victims of these things and not the gigantic multi-trillion-dollar megalomerates that like actually do the evil, you know, that are actually the reason why that is the kind of the image it projects.
Yeah. And by coming out and saying like, okay, painting everybody with this brush and putting their fingers in their ear, like, okay, it doesn't affect you if somebody else does this thing, except it does positively.
Yeah.
A push for more fuel efficient cars makes your shit cheaper to run. Starbucks going into a neighborhood actually makes the other coffee shops more successful around it.
Yeah.
So like, there's more information that could come to light, and that cuts the other way. Priuses are kind of dumb because like, there's a lot of shit in the batteries and they have to ship them from another way, and it takes a long time for them to be like not carbon neutral. That may be it takes a long time for them to break even on that. That may be like outdated information, but like, it still holds true that like, there, you know, there's more to it that you can than you can possibly get across in a cartoon, and you wouldn't expect them to like go in and do the research. However, just by going and finally actually I'm smart, it ends up being like just super, it empowers people to take the laziest possible intellectual approach at stuff, and like and still come out feeling like great because they were lazy.
You can't say the answer is everything is stupid and actually have that coexist with knowing about it at all.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you actually have any conception of what the thing is, then you wouldn't come to that conclusion. You know, so it's like, even working from the way backwards, like, the way the show presents itself has to be a presented attitude that is not interested in actual reality or science or anything.
Yeah.
You know, it's because of how it is. And they're not like, you know, we talked about one episode like a long time ago. I went and saw The Book of Mormon. I really liked it. Mm-hmm. It's a good show. I don't think that they are like inherently untalented people. Mm-hmm. I think that they were 16 years younger, created a show, and then that show caught on to a like a feeling and a zeitgeist kind of in people, and they've kind of kept doing that. I'm not saying like, oh, they're victims of their own success and maybe they don't want to still do this.
Yeah, it's not like an angry video game nerd thing or like a PewDiePie thing. Yeah,
Yeah. It's, I mean, they might still think this way, but it's like they've been arrested in that spot.
Yeah.
Like they're not untalented. It doesn't mean that they can't do cool things and mm-hmm. things that I actually think have like kind of a heart and a perspective to them.
Mm-hmm.
It's more that this thing that they've created and they're known for, and maybe is 100% of them, you know, maybe that this is all them, is like a juggernaut.
Yeah.
You know? And they're also like in interviews and stuff, when I've seen talk to them, like they're not uncynical about this shit.
Right.
You know, and that comes through in marketing and merchandising and stuff for the show too. Like it could just literally be like, they maybe don't believe it, but they have like a staff of writers now who work with them right. who know how to make a formulaic South Park episode.
Yeah.
And are just going to keep doing it.
And so they're
until the heat death of the universe.
And so they're here or until the checks stop coming. But like, yeah. you know, so what's crazy about this to me is that like, even if they don't believe it, they're still putting in so much effort. There's a documentary about the production of the show. Like it's mm-hmm. actually kind of fascinating the way they do this. And you can see where like that formulaicness, it works in their favor. I think the documentary is called like 1 week to air or 7 days to air or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like they do a whole episode in like 7 days from like storyboard yeah. up to like execution. And it walks through the steps of it. And I think I just like watch this on like Comedy Central is like, you know, like, oh, that's kind of fascinating. I'm way into production. I'm into that kind of stuff. And so like, but that is a Herculean effort.
Yeah.
It takes this huge apparatus and just like, man, if they're like cynical about it and if they like don't believe what it is, like, holy shit, is that some be careful what you pretend to be kind of yeah. stuff, because like they're trapped into this, into just this quagmire.
Yeah. I don't know. I'd be curious as to what they were like actually. I mean, not curious enough to read interviews, but like curious as to whether they are actually the shitheads that they seem to be on the show.
Yeah.
Or that the show presents.
One of them really likes anime and they both like video games a lot.
Yeah.
I'm kind of curious about the Stick of Truth. Like I got that in a Humble Bundle a while back. Like I would play that because it's Obsidian, not because it's mm-hmm. Not because it's South Park or whatever. And because I like a small numbers RPG, but it's just, it's super hard.
It is really, it's very hard. I've been curious about it too. It's like an Obsidian game that Chris Avalon wrote that I'm like, a thing I keep saying is, do I hate South Park more than I like Chris Avalon?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer has been yes so far, because I haven't wanted to put the time into it.
But even if the answer is no, it would be so marginal that it wouldn't even be worth it. Like just like, you know, you're talking about like cents on the dollar on that transaction.
Exactly. Like it would be at the end, no matter what that is, there's going to be this taint, because even if it is funny and has like funny writing,
mm-hmm.
if it's on brand, if it's faithful, which it is meant to be, like mm-hmm. people who have written about it and I've read reviews and I've watched like a couple videos about it, maintain that it is faithful to the show.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's faithful to the show, that's something that I am diametrically opposed to.
Yeah.
You know, the show is the, cause I mean, you know, when we get shit about like, cause you know, somebody is going to write in about the gun control thing at the beginning of this. When we get shit about doing that, something that I think that is good for the network to be and good for creative people and people who produce things to be in general is to have a perspective.
Right.
Right. Like it is not the idea of an objective anything is stupid.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't even need to be addressed. Like right. addressed, I feel like. I mean, like that has been roundly debunked. Like it's an impossible. If you think that's happening, you're fooling yourself. As you mentioned, not having a perspective is a perspective, or not, you know, trying to be neutral mm-hmm. is a deeply conservative kind of standpoint anyway. My, you know, in as so much as I've had a hand in shaping it, like my goal or my vision for like what the network would be to have a very strong sense of authorship and purpose and intent and mm-hmm. perspective with those things. And if it doesn't match, like, you know, that's fine. But at the very least, we're not wishy-washy, you know, we're not saying both sides are wrong or who's to say.
No.
Because there are answers for all of those things.
Yeah, the closest that we get, and, you know, I'll take ownership for kind of being on this side of it, is like acknowledging like, oh, this might make somebody angry. Notice, that's not an apology.
Yeah. it's just knowing it's going to happen. And it's like something, you know, somebody on Ask FM was like, why, you know, when you guys do Duckstream, like what made you choose Transactive? And I was like, that to me, that is that's like one of the reasons it's a good choice is because mm-hmm. it is, other than the fact that like, it's a great charity and it's the right size charity for us and all these other reasons. Mm-hmm. One reason is that like, it's explicitly progressive.
Yep.
In my mind. Like it is unmistakably like something that is, on the side of the political spectrum that I want and I mm-hmm. want to support and I yep. think is good and lines up with these kind of values. And somebody asked in the thing was like, do you guys have like a mission statement for your morals or something like that?
It's like, no.
And I was like, no, it doesn't have to work that way. Like, are you trying to catch me? Are you a lawyer? Like, you're trying to catch me up in something? Like, you know, I don't really get that way of engaging with the world.
Right.
You know, like if we had a thing written out, I feel like that would just invite people finding tiny minor inconsistencies.
Oh yeah. Like I'm not going to give somebody like a handbook for like calling me a hypocrite.
Exactly.
Again, it doesn't matter, but like, I don't need to deal with that noise.
No, it noise is exactly what it is because hypocrisy is such like a weak argument, you know, to try to invalidate somebody. But like, I don't know. I just feel like when I say diametrically opposite to South Park, I really mean it. Like the worst thing I think that you can be as a creative person is hands in the air. You know, I don't care about things.
Yeah.
You know, that's mm-hmm. bad.
Yeah, that is really bad. And I think that even if you're not as upfront about it as we are, we still take a stance insofar as like, even if we don't say it, it's there. It's there in the things yeah. we choose to talk about. It's there in the things that we choose not to talk about and like things that we joke about. And, you know, that like that is, I think that that is a huge, you know, or at least a powerful force, which is like, hey, you know, this is just such a part of us. We don't even have to talk about it. We don't have to say it. Like, this is just built into, you know, the way we view it. And it's going to come out in these ways. In what we do and what we say and what we joke about, because like saying to somebody, hey, you're wrong, isn't going to work and that's not going to do anything. However, you know, just kind of like taking a stance about it tacitly in the way you approach the like the minute to minute, that is the actual way to like, you know, express the version of the society that you want to see. You know, like it's just taken for granted that this is what we want. Like somebody asked me about the transactive thing too on Duckstream, like, hey, you know, can you explain this to me? And I was like, well, you know, it's just a cause we believe in. And I gave a couple of answers and I was like, it's a good fit.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, there's lots of reasons for that. And it's not like, you know, there's probably people who hate listen to the show, which is so weird that they exist. Cause it's like, mm-hmm. you know, they're not that many listeners to the show. What are you guys doing? Hate listening to this, but like, it's not. People like one annoying kind of accusation I see online is like virtue signaling.
Ugh.
Where like you're doing something to feel like good about yourself. Mm. But that's a very South Park-esque
it really
perspective.
Is.
And that you can't actually, there has to be an ulterior motive to you having this perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not possible that somebody other than me can actually care about a thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't. That has to be the right way to approach this. So they're being tricky. And that's so shitty. Like,
yeah.
I hate that so much.
I just, yeah, like, I had to just, this wasn't recent, like in the past 2 years, like ever since the unpleasantness of summer 2014 mm-hmm. happened, like, you know, that's when I heard about virtue signaling. It's like, man, that is such a cynical and depressing way to look at the world.
Who is doing that? Like, who, it's such a, yeah, I have no understanding of that perspective. You know, it's like, oh, everyone else, I am this like shallow, gross creature that can't care about something and everyone else must be as well.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, it's just like we say, when you accuse somebody of malfeasance or when you accuse somebody of taking advantage of something or, you know, like that, there has to be at some, you know, especially if it's an unfounded claim, you have to be accusing somebody of that because you would do the same in that situation or you think that, you know, or just like, oh, this would occur to me. So it must have occurred to them and therefore it's the worst. It is projection of the highest order. And it's a way to kind of like weaponize somebody's even just, you know, flippant statements about a thing they just assume and believe about the world around them to weaponize that against them.
Yes.
And also to, again, put this chilling effect on, you know, any discussion about a thing that, you know, maybe they don't disagree with, but even just hearing about it makes them uncomfortable and they don't want to don't want to address it.
And it's a deeply antagonistic way of reacting and, you know, making your way through the world, I think.
Right.
that I don't get. And it ties into the game, you know, because that's what this, I mean, I would love to see a Venn diagram between like South Park style libertarians and Gamergate folk,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it's like, it just, it's a good fit.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
it's
even
a really
just,
good fit.
I mean, so I was about to say, even just like temporally, like I'm making an assumption that everybody is the same age as me. I, you know, what I look at is like a lot of people who are like that, you know, who are gunning for the side of Gamergate are younger. I think that, you know, like that is likely and probably true. So like, I don't know if they grew up with South Park. I don't know if they like what their exposure was or how that tinted it. It just like to my mind, it lines up with at least the caricature that I have in my head of that.
Yeah. Which is, I mean, it's a caricature that I can think of tons of real examples.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like it's a caricature, but it's not a false caricature. It's like people who I've interacted with.
Yeah.
Who I will name now in their entirety.
Yeah, no, because we know everything.
Yeah,
we don't.
But it is just that idea that everyone who actually has this perspective must be stupid and wrong and faking it.
Yeah,
you know, is just like, and we talk about this. And weirdly enough, the other show this comes up with, and it's related. It's not exactly the same, but with the Bonfireside chat stuff, where people get mad about being critical about Dark Souls 3, it's like, there's this underlying assumption that, you know, it's disingenuous.
Yeah, like that we have something to gain.
Yeah, like what do we have to gain from that? Like, it's so bizarre to me. That's antagonistic, untrusting way of looking at the world.
That filthy, filthy Patreon lucre.
Yeah. Yeah, you bet. Like the like, you know, the below minimum wage that I make, you know, on doing podcast stuff is 100% the motivator behind, you know, behind that. I don't know. It is a frustrating, gross way to look at the world. And I wish it would stop.
Mm-hmm.
Or at the very least, just like stop, you know, trying to engage me with it.
Yeah. That's,
you know, I don't need anybody like popping up on Twitter and being like, you know, if it's mad, like, I'm not going to stop being, you know, a person. Like, the network is going to be comprised of people that may be people you disagree with and don't like.
Mm-hmm.
But I would rather have it be comprised of people who are whole and who act like themselves than try to make a product that is, you know, a dictionary. Like, that is literally us reading from the Wikipedia as opposed to, you
making
know.
Making fun of the bad phrasing on Wikipedia. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's I don't know, and so I'll take this from a different angle, which is to say that, you know, I'm very fixated on the idea of a growth mindset, right? Like, what can we do to be a little bit better today than we were yesterday, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so anything that has the whiff of, hey, just don't consider it, and like, it's not worth talking about, it's not worth dwelling on, things are going to be the way they are, that is the most toxic impulse. And so if you sense that to yourself, that like, hey, this isn't a conversation worth having, that's bad. And I would definitely say, like, look at that and make sure you're not modeling that off of a cartoon that aired on Comedy Central, you know, when you were in fifth grade. And like, you know, you went to the county fair and won like a Coke mirror that had those four characters. And like, that's kind of funny. The kid dies all the time. Like, make sure you're modeling that off the right way and like have just like a moment of introspection about it. Because like, if you're not growing, you're dying.
Yeah. Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. It is. Now I feel gross.
What's that?
I said, now I feel gross.
for like wallowing in this.
Yeah, just kind of like gross and angry, you know, which is how South Park makes me feel. Yeah. Hey, there's a poop that talks on it, though.
Yeah, that's
pretty
good.
Then there's Towley, and then they had the Towley ban, because actually being concerned about that is stupid. But, you know, not being concerned about it is stupid, too. Yeah.
See, that's funny. An animate towel that likes to get high all the time. That's funny. I like that. Turning that into a thing about the Taliban. Nope.
Yeah. Yeah, and we didn't even get into like the puerile part of the show, you know, the just like chocolate salty balls part of it.
Yeah,
that like, man, South Park. anywho, who suggested this? Who wished on a monkey's paw and got catfished into this nonsense, Cole?
Well, this was somebody who paid for the privilege of doing it. It's a real Rascal situation when we talked about religion, I think. Again, I think Rascal, was that the episode where we talked about Book of Mormon?
I very well could be. I think so.
Man,
yeah.
So eventually we just need to start blaming this on Matt and Trey. but no, this was George, who was a very generous Patreon backer. And this is a popular suggestion here. I need to pull this up because a lot of people have actually put in for it. We also have South Park. Oh wait, no, that's the name. That's the name of the person.
Did South Park actually suggest it? Because if it's suggesting itself, then maybe we have tackled
yes.
A force beyond our ken.
Yeah, I think that we
some of the orbs.
Gary, we fucked up. No, this this was suggested by I got the forums in a wrong order. So suggested by Jesse, by Fuzzy, and also by Sam Bear. Hey, Sam.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. So yeah, but thank you most of all to George, who is who backs up the raffle level and won the ability to not just force this on us, but force it on all of you as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. So hopefully, this is not apologizing for this stuff, because it's like the whole point of that rant was that we shouldn't.
I know. Yeah. I'm not apologizing.
I'm not saying
for
you.
It.
I'm saying me. I'm like, I was just about to say, hopefully, you know, you liked it and it wasn't intolerable. And it's like, no.
It's like, no. Like, this is,
it is what it is.
I mean, it's, you know, so like the worst thing you can say is we're talking about the business of podcasting, right? At that point. And it's like, it's a little bit inside baseball. It's, you know, like, and so to give people even more of a look behind the curtain here, we're like, we don't talk about this stuff behind, like, Gary and I don't coordinate with this, you know. It's just stuff that happens up front. So like when this comes out on the show, like, it's us oftentimes talking about it for the first time.
Yes. We don't sit around and be like, what's our liberal agenda for like the podcast for this, you know, this week.
Yeah.
Like we don't, it just kind of like it's, you know, one of those chicken and egg things, because like if this was something we weren't on the same page with, the network wouldn't be around.
Right.
Like we wouldn't have lasted as long as we were if it was like, you know, the first time one of us was like, you know, said something explicitly political, the other person was like, whoa, 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 you know,
bump the brakes, son.
Yeah. Then we probably, you know, that the network wouldn't have lasted.
Right.
So it's a self-causing
right.
prophecy, essentially, orbs.
Yeah.
But anyway, thank you guys very much for listening. If you like this, if you want to pick out an episode, the reason why George is able to do so is because he's a very generous backer, as we mentioned, patreon.com/duckfeedtv. That is a great way to support the show if you like it. And I think that it is more meaningful that people support the show when we're able to be our whole selves.
I think so too.
Like if we were creating a product, it would say something about the product that people were into it. But the fact that there's so much of us in it, it says something about ourselves, and that makes it feel heavier.
Yeah. Like more of a responsibility.
Yeah, but in a good way.
Yeah.
So thank you very much to everyone who does.
Mm-hmm.
And thanks to those in the future who will.
Yeah. We certainly appreciate it. We enjoy recording the show, just like we hope you enjoy listening to it. And you know the usual stuff, Facebook, iTunes reviews, extra episodes on the Patreon again. Yeah, that's all good.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yep.
So yeah, so until next time.
You were a lust hanky.
Yeah, lust. Let's think he's stupid, but those who criticize him,
yep,
were they as well.
We didn't even get into, like, I did not have the courage of my convictions to say that sometimes one of the sides is right.
Yeah, well that's 100% true. Yeah, so many times. And we didn't even bring up Ken Levine.
Oh yeah. That might have muddied the waters.
Yeah, that's true. That's a separate rant. That's when we get to the abject suffering for BioShock Infinite. So